Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
There are 3 very important rules. Do not get them wet. Do not feed them after midnight. And most importantly, do not let them steal your baby. It's Gremlins on a Plane with a Baby. We saw a shadow in the cloud. So you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discrepate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Could you be the one that had to discrepate? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Tall John Shear. Each week, we take a film, we look at it, and ask a simple question, how did it get made? And this week is no different. We are talking about Shadow in the Cloud. It's 1942. During World War II, a woman boards a plane with a mysterious package. But I want to say much more than that. Let me bring out my 2 amazing co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Whoa, this was some wild stuff. This was, you know, I was not prepared. I had closed captioning on. I was not prepared for it to say gremlin colon screeches.
Okay, here's June. Well, June, your first thoughts on this, too, because I have a couple of things I want to get off my chest here.
First of all, I enjoyed it. So let me put that, put that over there for a second. I enjoyed it. I guess what I cannot believe, and I don't know, maybe I missed a part of it. Well, this was one of the rare movies that got my attention and kept it.
Whoa!
It really did.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Really did. But I guess the question I'm coming back to, you know, that when it ended, I was like, did I miss an explanation of where these gremlins came from?
Yeah. No, you did not, June. No. I would love to tell you that you did. You did not. Not only did they never explain why and how there were gremlins aboard the plane, the people on the plane seemed uninterested,
unfazed,
uninterested in examining the where, the why, the how of the gremlins. Listen, I understand we're in a dogfight with the enemy. We crash land a plane. But at a certain point, you got to be like, what the fuck are these gremlins?
You know, the movie opens up with this like animated segment based on these like private snafu, which is like a series of like not PSAs, but like a soldier safety videos that they made during World War II. And there was this idea that like, who did this? Oh, a gremlin did it. Like, or like there was like this idea of a gremlin was kind of like in Family Circus, like not me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That wasn't my fault. That was a gremlin.
A gremlin?
Yeah. Everyone's heard of gremlins. They chew up planes, screw up the navigation. They get their kicks from hurting us.
Gremlins are all in your head. We owe it to our boys to stay focused. It's not critters who cause accidents. It's careless airmen. It's your responsibility to be safe. A tidy workspace makes for a productive environment. Shape up. We need men with strong hearts and clear minds. Look after yourself to stay fighting fit. Stay on task. Avoid distraction and keep your wits about you. Let's keep our skies safe so we can win this war.
Immediately I go, wait a second. Is this movie going to be about a real life fucking gremlin? Like that was when I was like, oh, I don't know what we're in store for
because, by the way, I would have been on board for. Like if the movie had concerned itself entirely with what's up with these gremlins, where are these gremlins coming from? We're under siege, not only outside the plane from the enemy, but inside the plane from gremlins. But the gremlins are like the C story of this movie, I think. Like,
but see, I was very interested in the other movie, the A and B story, which was, you know, about a woman in combat who's a fighter who knows what's going on and is in this position and stuck in there. And even the baby, I mean, I knew the baby was in the box from the first moment we saw the box, but
I did not know a baby was in the box. I thought a gremlin was in the box. Oh, I thought she was transporting gremlins.
I assumed whatever was in the box had to do with the gremlins. It seemed like she purposefully
I knew a baby was in the box from the jump.
That's interesting. To me, it seemed like
that box is very
small.
She's
getting on the gremlin plane for a reason. That must be that's what's up. You know, I don't know.
That movie, I enjoyed like what it must have been like for a woman who, you know, was a pilot in this situation. I was fascinated by that story. I was even into the love story and the romance of it all. What I could not wrap my mind around were the gremlins.
Well, see,
by the way, gremlins or gremlins?
Gremlins. There were at least three.
I thought there was just one.
No, there was at least three that she killed.
I did the.
She shoots. Oh, right. She shoots one. She beats one to death on the ground, and she there's at least three gremlins.
I think it's all the same.
And there's a white one, a whitish one with wings, and then there are little brown ones that don't have. They have fur but no wings.
Okay, well, I did watch this on my iPhone. I will tell you this much. I watched it in landscape mode on my iPhone while I ate
my God
takeout meal in my kitchen where there is a TV.
Yeah,
but I chose.
Wow.
Well, strangely, I watched it on my computer. Now, I'll tell you, this is my experience of the movie. I'll be very honest right now. I'm not afraid to be honest about how I watched it. I was planning on watching the movie and like cleaning out my closet, which has been a goal for 2022.
I love a double duty. How did this get made? I'm doing
the
bad movie and a test because then the 2 hours, thank God, by the way, an hour and 20 minutes. Amazing.
It was a nice time. Oh, but I was so interested that I let go of my task.
Oh, wow. See, for me, the problem, because I agree with you, June, all of these movies are interesting potential movies. The movie about the woman who, you know, not sneaks, but like falsifies her way onto a plane, woman in combat, in a man's world, all that kind of stuff. The love story with the baby and the blah, blah, blah. And the Gremlin movie. But the problem was, for me, it didn't commit to any of them. And so I never got pulled into it. I kept being like, well, what about the Gremlins? If there was no Gremlins for a while. Or if not, I'd be like, well, what about the baby? You know,
I'm going to say something that I think also is a weird thing about this movie, which is you come into it, like the first 30 minutes of the film is basically Chloe Grace Moretz alone in the bottom half of an airplane
talking in like a gun turret bubble.
Yes, talking to people that we've only seen glimpses of.
The paper said not to open the package.
You shouldn't read the bloody paper.
Staff Sergeant Quaid, open the package. If it's Reigert, I'll take the heat.
Sir, I just...
Quaid, that's an order.
Quaid, do not open the package.
Cap, she wasn't lying about the Japs, and she wasn't lying about the Gremlin.
Lieutenant Finch, retrieve the package from Quaid and open it,
sir. Do not open the package.
Now, whatever's in that package is what's causing the failures on this plane.
Do not open the package.
Quaid, I beg you, don't be a dummy here.
You don't do this.
Ah! I got it!
I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
That went on for so long.
Like, oh, is this like a pandemic movie where they were like, you're alone, you'll shoot the whole thing in this little rig we have, and this is the movie, you know? And
I thought it was like a Ryan Reynolds Buried Alive, like coffin movie,
totally.
And I was like, but it's weird because you want to have this relationship with all these people when she gets out, but I haven't put faces and names together, and
that's why they put that stuff in. She would repeat a name and there would be like this atmospheric shot of that actor and who he is.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't place him in the setting. They must have shot them afterwards. It was just like these red and black. It's got this like very kind of 80s John Carpenter vibe score and lighting. It's got like...
Which also I didn't love how incongruous that score
very
was.
Very heavy synth score for a 19...
I love a synth score.
I liked it.
And I enjoyed
for
it.
For a 1940s movie, I was like, okay, interesting. But then the stylistic shots of like, who's that? Is that... What's his name? And then just like an artistic...
I didn't know
push
who she was in love
guy,
with.
I'd be like, I don't know which... Yes, that's what I wrote
when
too.
When she came
which
up...
Which one
when
is
she
the
came
guy
up,
who's the father?
I was like, who is who? I don't know. They're all just like, they all are gross dudes. Like, that's the one thing that I know. And at one point when it's revealed, there's one nice guy in the grossos.
Yeah.
That's the one that she likes. But the rest is just, it was really hard. It's like, it would be like doing Knives Out, but... You one character was trapped behind a door and like, oh, look at this, you know, this menagerie of characters here. Like, you don't get to meet them.
Okay.
Until
here's my question, though. I don't know if like we want to bring Devin on to talk about this, but I have some questions about the sound communication in the movie.
Bring him on.
Okay.
Well, Devin, our engineer knows everything about World War II radio equipment.
So she's down in that special spot that they put her in.
Yeah.
Now, in order for her to speak, she has to press a button for the sound to get to the rest of the grossos up there. Now, it seems to me that they should probably have to press a button to get on comms to be able to communicate with everyone throughout that
aircraft.
Wait a
second. Is this what you were going to ask Devin about? Like the intricacies of a fighter in World War II?
Because here's the thing. At certain points, it just seems like she's listening in.
She is.
Like she's just listening.
She listened for too long.
She listens Yeah, that's true.
For too long.
But when she's listening, but what I'm saying is like there are moments where they cannot be pressing a button to speak.
Oh, I see. Because they're all speaking. You mean they're having
a
conversation.
All speaking.
Yes,
she's
I agree.
Just overhearing what's
I agree.
Going
yes.
on.
No, that doesn't. I agree. That is strange. I also wondered if you were on comms and your man, because she's in a gun turret. You wouldn't be able to shoot and press the button to talk to people. You'd need to be able to talk freely. And say, you know, I'm there at my 6 o'clock or whatever. I'm, you know, you wouldn't be able to shoot and do that. That seemed like a contrivance so that they could shut her out almost when they turn her comm off, you know?
Well, good news, June. There are literally pages and pages and pages and pages of continuity and military anachronisms listed on IMDb. You can get into all. People got into it. I will tell you this.
Oh,
when
that's
I went
funny.
On a USO tour to Iraq, we were in, these big, these big ships, and we were wearing the headsets, and you did have to, everyone had to press a button, but you were like part
of
the
conversation. It's like a walkie-talkie, That's why you say over, because that means I'm going to let go of the button. Now you talk.
Right. But that's not what was happening. No. She was just hearing what was going on, but not everything that was going on, but just certain voices.
She was tuning into misogyny radio.
Yeah,
basically,
it was like a live podcast of bros. Just like,
I got a unit. Nightmare. I'll put my thing.
The new like misogynist podcast.
See, here's the thing that I liked about the movie and her being down there for as long as she was. There was something about it that was like, okay, I liked the way that things were unfolding. Like, she's down there, she's nervous about the package. Now we're nervous that these guys are going to maybe gang rape her. Now we're nervous that she's got to survive that. And she's now got to survive like Japanese missiles. And now she's got to survive an alien. Like, there were already so many stakes.
So many worthwhile stakes. We didn't need the gremlins, or we needed all the gremlins.
All the gremlins. Yeah, where are the rest of them?
You know?
Yeah, it's like Mario Lopez and his hair. Like, give me all the hair or give me none of that hair.
That's it right there.
I had two
thoughts.
That's
the Mario Lopez rule of how did this get made.
I thought the guys were gremlins.
What?
Okay,
this is
so
wild.
I thought. Okay. So when she got into the plane, right, and they put her in that lower deck.
So
thing,
like they are the personification of monsters.
They are essentially like werewolves. Like, get in this hatch because when we're flying, we become gremlins. Like, we are a special crew.
Okay.
And then I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, they don't want to see. You can't see us become the werewolves. So I was building that story. I was like, ooh, that's a crew of gremlins. And that's why we got to see that video before, which, by the way, I'm into that movie.
I mean, they weren't not gremlins.
I think that's what the movie is clumsily trying to say, is like, there are monsters of all sorts. There are monsters, literal monsters, and the figurative monsters of like toxic masculinity. You know, and she has to face them all.
All of them.
It did seem like when she first saw the shadow in the cloud that she had maybe seen it before.
I agree so much that was my headcanon that I started to build, is that's why she got on this plane. Because what she has is going to combat the gremlins. She's here to get gremlins. And then when she was like not, when she was like surprised and it turned out she's just trying to escape with her baby, I was like, oh, so she accidentally got on a gremlin ship, and gremlin ship is like a real thing, and the guys don't
know
there's
gremlins?
They want
her baby. The gremlins seem to only want
her
gremlins. Baby.
Gremlin wants her baby. And by the way, she's indestructible because she does some shit here. Like, this is the problem I have with the
movie. Let the gremlin raise the baby.
Gremlins can be a good dad. Wait, was the dad the gremlin? Did she have sex with? Is that the guy?
I heard her plane crash, and she was raised for 6 years by gremlins.
Oh, I was.
So
by the way,
I'm part gremlin.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Texas Pete! Oh my gosh, I love Texas Pete. It is the hot sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. All right, Texas Pete sauce is packed with bold and balanced flavor. I've loved Texas Pete for years. When I got a box of their stuff at my house, I was so psyched because what I love about their hot sauce is their tanginess, okay? You can use it on anything and you're going to try every flavor. I mean, you got the original, which is great. That's fermented peppers. It's a special blend. Then you got the hotter hot sauce, which is 3 times hotter than the original. And believe me, it is not for the faint of heart. Then you got Sabor by Texas Pete, which adds an authentic Mexican flavor. And I gotta tell you, that might be my favorite next to their dust dry seasoning, which matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. It is so, so great. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
The fact that they never made any effort, nobody seemed shocked there were gremlins. They kept calling them big rats.
No one said.
They kept calling them big rats. They were human size. Big rats. What? What are you talking
about? Big rats that literally took the baby away. Then the baby is hanging very precariously on the outside of the airplane. And again, it's just a box. We don't know the baby. Do we know what baby's at the box at that point?
Yes, at that point we do.
Yes, we do.
And she climbs out. Now, I'm all for...
She free solos this plane while it's at like 10,000 feet.
I think the plane's going upside down. But meanwhile, later in the movie, when she's got to like... When they're preparing for the crash landing, she's like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, wait, you just hung on an airplane and like lassoed your baby to you with
and
not even
fell out and was like pushed back by the.
She's indestructible. She's a Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, she gets blown. She falls out of the plane, literally. And simply, she only survives because the Japanese plane below her explodes and its explosion rockets her back up and into the hole she came out of.
I mean, what? And without a mark on her.
And she, again, is unfazed. If that happened, the rest of the movie, she should be like, did you see what just happened to me? I fell out of the plane and was exploded back into it.
Well, no, but this is the problem. This is a movie, and I guess like, you know, you're in the middle of war, so you don't react to anything because everything is crazy. But no one, the only thing they react to is that the pulling the plane up. That's the only moment of reaction. Even when she faces off against that gremlin in that final fight scene, fisticuffs in the water, like there is no...
like, holy shit, there's a gremlin?
Here's what I'll say. The men in the movie... seem more upset and emotionally, viscerally furious. They are more engaged on an emotional level with the fact that there is a woman on their plane, more so than gremlins.
1,000%. Like, 1,000%. It shakes them to their core. They're like, we can't do our job.
Is that a real girl? Is that a dame? Is that a real dame? It was like an episode of Is That a Real Dame, the podcast. Like, what is happening? They're so upset about that, but they don't have a single word for the fact that there are goddamn life-size, I mean, human-sized gremlins that they are insisting are giant rats. What?
But for a movie that is only like a brisk 72 minutes or whatever it is, there is missing one scene, right? One scene where they go, Just one. If I give me this one scene and it changes it all, where literally they don't believe her. Like, she's like, there's something out there. She fires a gun. She lies to them. I don't understand why she lied to them about firing a gun. I guess because she shouldn't have had a gun, whatever. But
she's got a baby up there. I mean, she doesn't want them to think she has a gun.
I didn't understand why she's, I think that's true, but I didn't understand that. And I couldn't understand why she put her finger in between the lock to so that it couldn't get opened. That it's just going to rip your finger off.
I mean, by the way, I also don't understand why that package couldn't fit on her lap. It seemed like that package was easy enough to fit in the hole.
For
there.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Okay. But I guess what I'm missing is when she says, there's something out there, like, you don't know what you're talking about, you dumb dame. And then she's like, no, there's something out there. Like, yeah, you dummy. You know, and then all of a sudden when they all see it, all you want is like a moment of like, I guess you were right.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever, like, no one even acknowledges, like, oh, shit has gone south
well,
here. Like,
the version we get is from Taggart, who I think is the Scottish guy, who is like,
I like that.
He's so aggressively misogynistic towards her. And he pushes her into the gun turret. He's so like, you know, like, and she comes, when she finally does emerge, when she free solos the plane and climbs back in with her baby, she spent like now minutes on the exterior of the plane. She climbs out to she gets to the wing, she gets the baby, she climbs back in. He's fighting a gremlin. And he says to her, his final lines, his redemptive line is, get that baby out of here, you idiot. And then he gets sucked out of the plane by the gremlin. I was like, this guy is going down swinging. He is like, get that baby out of here, you idiot.
Look, he loves it. Like, he loves that baby. There is so much here that is so, like, I get that. It's a midnight movie. It's a genre movie. It's a horror movie. And it's like trying to hit you on all these things, but it just doesn't feel like, it almost feels like it crashed mid movie. Like, it is going towards a place. And then it just sort of like everything goes off the rails I couldn't figure out.
What was hard for me is there is so many, there's such high emotional stakes to it. And it's got great dogfight action, set PC kind of like, you know, planes are shooting at them
Sky
while the
Captain in the world of tomorrow.
A lot of stuff is happening, but I felt like the emotional weight was never there. Like every time when Chloe Grace Moretz would like interact with the baby, I was like, I feel like she just met that baby 30 seconds before they put the baby in her arms and we're like, okay, we're going to go. Ready? Okay, here's the baby. Great. We're going to set the baby in the box. Okay, great. Go. You know, like, I didn't feel like, and same for the actor who's revealed to be the father of the baby. Like, I didn't feel like the emotional weight was there. So
because it all happened off screen.
Yeah.
Like, you have no connection between any of these characters.
I wasn't inside of their love story at all, you know?
And while we're on the subject of Taggart, I just want to talk about this crew. Is this an American crew? Because it also is.
No,
like,
they're super international. There's a British guy.
Yeah.
There's a Kiwi.
It's the Allied forces.
It's like a whole ragtag group. But they do, again, no favors, because for 80% of the movie, they are just voices on a radio. You know?
I know. I do wonder, you know, so it came out in 2020. Like, I do wonder the choice to have her down there for that long. It did really feel like something must have happened.
It felt pandemic-y to me. You know?
Very much so. Now, I did love the choice of her being in that little area and thinking that her child had died, like, and having her. I mean, she had to do a shit ton of acting down in that little.
I think she carries a lot of the weight on her shoulders and does an amazing job. But I will tell you one thing.
She does her best to carry the whole movie. Like, almost nobody else gets screen time for the most part, you know?
Yeah, and I think the only thing that I felt bad about, because I do think that she is very good in this film, is when she dropped the accent, I didn't really notice it. Like, when they, hey, wait, she's talking different.
Yeah.
Is she? And like, I thought the accent was
doing a real British accent, you know?
I guess she
became American.
I guess what I have a trouble with is maybe like a 1940s accent and a British accent were close enough that I was like, I didn't read it one way or the other.
A 1940s American accent?
I just felt like
a mid-Atlantic?
Hey, I'm getting in that ship and I'm going to go over there. I'm British, you see? We're going to go get in the lorry and get in the lift. Come on there.
I'm so shocked you don't get more period work. You don't work more in period films.
I'm trying. I got
that accent look, work?
Yeah. Hey there, boy. You think I'm over here?
Listen, I'm a classic Brit. I want to hear your monologue for the old audition in that accent.
Hey, you want to come on down to the beach? I got to go to old beach thing, yeah. We've been there since 1940.
No, listen, here's where I, you know, obviously I just had a birthday. I'm getting older. But I was watching the movie and I'm like, I feel really like I'm watching it. I thought she was great and I enjoy watching her. But I'm like, is she like a 12 years old? And then I just was like, oh, I mean, I'm just getting so much older that when I see someone who's like, oh, this isn't an adult woman. This is like, this isn't a coming of age story. Like, this is a story about a grown woman. She's a grown woman. It was just, did anyone else have that? But maybe I'm just like,
no, this happens to me all the time in this, if this exact same thing where I think a young, especially it happens like Chloe Grace Moretz is a great example. I feel like I got to know her when she was quite young because she was Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass movies and she was a kid. So the idea that she's now not just an adult who absolutely it's organic for her to have a child, but in my mind, I too was like, oh no, the kid has a baby. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Right. No, that's like she's a 30-year-old woman probably who has a baby. That's entirely appropriate in 1942.
She would be a middle-aged woman.
Yes, she's close to death.
Probably actually, she's probably actually like an older mom.
Yeah. So
it's just so confusing and I'm having a hard time connecting.
She is 23. She's 23 when she made this movie.
So she's still pretty young.
She was a bit young.
Oh, she's still young. Okay.
Still, by the way, probably not too young for the role.
No. Yep.
No, because it's like you're thinking about these are soldiers are getting into the army.
They're all young. Right, they're all young. So, the whole cast is super young, you know.
But she just seemed so young to me. I was like, I'm watching a child.
Yeah,
Can I say one thing?
But I thought she was even older, but go ahead, yeah.
When I typed in Shadow in the Cloud on Google, one of the first things that showed up was based on a true story. And then
what?
I clicked it and I was like, wait, how is that one of the most frequently asked questions based on, I can watch the movie based on a true story. Is that true? Should it happen? How could that, God. Like the fact that is that often asked.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say it is a testament to her kind of star power that the movie even is watchable at all because it is so much of it is static. It's just her in the turret. And then the rest of it is so chaotic and geographically confusing. Who's where, when, who's who are these actors? And when she comes up out of the bubble, I was like, is the guy that she was in love with still alive? Do we even know which one of these? Like, we keep seeing bodies on the ground.
Now, I think she was great, but I was really connected to the basic story.
Okay.
And even seeing her at the end, that last moment, even though there are gremlins running around and nobody's told me why or how or where, even that last moment where I saw her breastfeeding, you know, I was like, God damn it, if this doesn't make me feel something. And I am absolutely intrigued by the premise of this story. So I really did connect to it. And I did. And I was like, oh, I so wish, because I think this could have been an incredible movie. About a woman who's in this situation minus gremlins.
Well, that's the thing is you can't have all these things because then it's like, it becomes too much. It's like it's a hat on a hat on a hat, right? It's not just, I have to protect my baby. It's, I also have to fly and land this plane. It's also, I have to fight these gremlins. Like,
Let's go back to basics.
Yeah.
Snakes on a plane was only about snakes on a motherfucking plane. There were no babies.
They're snakes. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like there are wolves on the plane. Or like, it's gremlins. You have to answer, where are these gremlins from? And why are they called gremlins? Why are they called gremlins? Are these aliens? Are they, like, I also was like, when they crash landed, and then she goes out, She goes out and she beats the shit out of a she beats a gremlin to death with her bare hands.
Basically breaks his jaw into his own skull.
She basically, she uses the gremlin's taloned hand and does the why are you hitting yourself thing, kind of, and kills the gremlin with the gremlin's own taloned hand. The gremlin never bites her or never gets a hand on her. It doesn't matter. That's fine. I kind of wanted, though, at the end, for her to be at the, what you're describing, June, is that final tableau of she's done it, they've rescued the baby, there's a couple of people left alive. I kind of wanted, like, over the crest of the hill for there to be, like, hundreds of gremlins.
Yes.
I was, let them land on Gremlin Island and then tell me, guess what? Ooh. Gremlins are part of the mythology of this story.
Well, but this is interesting. Like, again, and this is where my mind is going, and this is what it's like to, you know, to watch a movie with me. When she put the baby on her breast, which I thought was actually a very, you know, the breastfeeding moment was a very cool visual for the end. I don't know if I feel like it worked,
super
but
cool
I like
visual.
That.
Super cool visual.
No, listen, I didn't know like how her milk didn't dry up after all that trauma. I mean, yeah. she had been hanging off a plane.
I'm glad we're talking about
earlier.
This. I'm glad we're talking
and
about
she
this.
She was still lactating.
She was still just, she was, well, in a lot of takes, in a lot of scenes, you can see that she's leaking. She's leaking milk. You can see it. It's out there. And
well,
that's,
I mean, that
what's
was that was
the
dead giveaway.
The
that was a dead giveaway that it that was a dead giveaway that it was a baby in the box. But I thought at the end, the baby would be like, it would be like, I'm going to put this baby in my breast. And then the final scare would be like, ah, like, and the baby was a gremlin and bite her in the chest.
Oh, I never thought that.
So that's, I thought, yeah.
I never thought that, but I did think like, somehow these gremlins have to win, right? Like, or not
well,
win,
I mean, that one gremlin fell
like
from
a,
the sky.
Yes.
The one that she fights and punches in the face with his own fist.
Yes.
I'm that one fell from the fucking
that's
sky
the one that
and
she
is
chopped
fine.
Its tail off and it had wings. Like, we think she kills it, but then it sprouts wings and flies
and
away.
That, I thought that was a great moment.
I
there
did
were a
too.
Couple of moments like that where I thought it was really well directed, where, like, she, when she, and I agree, the geography was insane, not seeing anybody up there. Like, here's what I justified. I was like, something happened. It is pre-pandemic, but something happened with this cast or the plane or something where they could not shoot anything up there.
Or they just didn't have the budget.
Budget was cut.
Yeah.
Like, something major
budget was
must
cut?
Have gone.
How much do you think this movie cost?
$7 million.
I bet more than that. Like, $20
million? $10 million.
Oh,
I mean, it's not a small budgeted movie. I guess there are some really big.
There's a couple of exteriors.
Yeah,
there's a couple, but
but it is sort of like at a certain point, it's like a one woman show.
Exactly.
Down
for
in
a lot.
Well,
of glass
I was gonna
bubble.
Say, would you guys help finance me
to do the
putting
remake?
That up? Yeah. On the West End?
Only
in
if
good old London.
Theater?
London, baby.
Only if you breastfeed. I would have, yeah, there was a lot of, to me, this mm-hmm. could have been like Alien, right?
Yes.
Like, oh
an
no.
An element of that, yes,
oh
sure.
no, there's a gremlin on the ship. Or there's gremlins on the ship. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there it could have had like, for I think for me, there was too much going on, and that's why the movie ultimately kind of didn't work. I enjoyed parts of it, but if it would have...
You would
have
liked Gremlins.
I would have liked more of the horror Gremlins movie, and I didn't need the dog fight. I didn't need her... What'd you say?
I said you wanted Gremless.
That's
I
the shirt.
A little Gremless.
Gremless.
Oh, by the way. Gremless.
That element of it, I would have liked almost more of her in the plane with the other actors and the gremlins, so we would get to know the ensemble better, we would get to understand the stakes better,
yeah.
and that the threat was truly these gremlins.
Somebody need to be transporting gremlins. There needs to
be
a rumor about
this
gremlins.
Movie this much. A movie that has gremlins in it and have it not have none of the main characters really be like, what the fuck is up with these gremlins?
Snakes
what do
on
they
a plane.
Want? Why
they
do they
tell
want
you
that
how those snakes. They don't just like say that snakes are on a plane. They tell you how the snakes get on a plane. In Gremlins, you understand the rules of the gremlins, why they even exist. Every one of these movies, The Thing, you get it. Like, you get Alien, you get it.
Yeah.
Here's a couple questions though that are grimless. The baby in the box. I didn't see too many holes in that box.
So that's why I knew there was a baby in the box, because beginning when she's packing up the box in that montage sequence, there's like an air, there's like a little ventilation patch
on the
box.
It's the speaker area for it, because it's a radio bag, she calls it.
Okay, so yes, that was down on the lower right-hand side,
right?
Which would mean that the baby, like, that's a,
now, I will
still,
say, the baby is tucked in a way that the blanket is probably covering that thing.
That is my thing. That I was like, the baby's arm and head in a blanket, because that baby is swaddled
I want to say shame on this movie for, there's a moment where she crash lands the plane, and they give the one and only fantasy sequence in this movie is she visualizes her dead lover and dead baby. Like, she visualizes, I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna, and but the movie shows it to you in a way that is almost as if it's really
but
what's
I
happening.
I thought all of those were fantasy sequence like that one.
But in this one, it's like you see the baby thing is crushed and the lover is on the floor dead and there's blood seeping out of the radio box, and I was like, oh fuck, did this happen? And then it cuts out and it's clearly a. It's a fantasy, but I was like, hey, man, don't make me think the baby is dead. Don't do this just to get just to zap me, you know, like she did.
Yeah, it's a very hard fantasy
manipulative
sequence
to me in a way that I was
I
don't
did not
appreciate
like
this.
Seeing even like
don't
dream
make me think
baby
this.
Blood.
Exactly.
Like, it was too much for me. It was just too much for me. Yeah.
They also, I mean, this is just dumb little stuff, but she says at some point, we have to crash land. We have to dump the fuel and dump all the cargo, or we're going to explode. They do neither of those things, and they crash land, and it explodes, but they manage to get away. There was just like dumb little stuff that I was like,
I laughed so hard when that gremlin whose tail she cut off and it started flying back to her, when she was just trying to throw out like various pieces of cargo to try to hit.
Just to try and drop it on the ground.
Like that, you really have to have like
you're traveling at
aim.
Hundreds of miles per hour.
Hey, look, she's actually one of those great people at a carnival that can drop like the circles over like the pyramid and then you get a big prize.
I laughed so hard at that, and I laughed so hard also at her with a piece of pipe trying to catch the baby who's like 10 feet away.
Yes.
I was like, you are traveling. You are traveling at hundreds of miles an hour, thousands of feet in the air.
Her face wasn't even like really rippling.
There's no shear. There's no wind. They're in a dogfight. The plane must be doing evasive maneuvers because they're getting shot up by the Japanese aircraft that are attacking them. She is just reaching out with that pole, going to catch this baby on a stick. I was like, what is happening?
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you, I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers. So again, I know I don't want to keep on circling back to it, but why do the gremlins want that baby so bad? Or is
or
it just
why
like,
do they want that plane?
Like, well, I mean,
no, they want the baby. They want the baby. And I think they wanted the baby before she got on that plane.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Did the gremlins show up because of the baby? Or
do the gremlins work for the abusive husband?
Was this plane just riddled with gremlins and she happened to get on it? Uh-oh, the gremlins want the baby now.
Well, but the minute that she sees that guy in the beginning, right, who gets disappeared right before she gets on the plane, right? She's in the Air Force. She's in the airfield.
Right.
There's a guy in front of her. And then he goes... And so the gremlins are on the ground.
And
the gremlins
she says
are there.
They're on the wing. She sees the hydraulics have been ripped out, and she mentions it to the crew. And the crew's like, "You didn't see that. You're a lie." That's when they're saying, "Shut up." There's a dame. You know, she doesn't know anything. You know,
there's
whatever.
Just a lot of questions about why, like, are gremlins mischievous, or are they baby, like, or do they want that baby's blood? Because I also feel like they took the baby, like. The way that you would be like, oh, I'm going to save this for later.
Also, like, you know, like why like, not tell us, like, oh, Hitler invented gremlins in this world.
Or the Japanese, because when the
world,
Japanese are underneath. Like,
yes,
this is a new,
they
yeah.
have, in this World War II story, the Nazis have gremlins. They've
yeah.
succeeded in their supernatural,
the secrets
in
of
their
the Luftwaffe
stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. I think you're right, Paul, that it was, you know, I think the war was a backdrop to what was happening with the gremlins, that the gremlins wanted to take that baby somewhere else and
make
do
it a gremlin?
Something, either make it a gremlin or make hybrids or some such.
Well, because here's my thought. I think that the gremlins look like, remember that movie we watched, Sleepwalkers, where it was like the mother and son who were the cats? Oh my gosh.
Oh,
all right, so.
I mean, vaguely. Weren't there a bunch of dead cats hanging in a tree?
Yes. And there's
that's,
a bunch of dead
the
cats.
Only thing
I don't think I was there for that.
You 100% were. Because, I remember. They were an incestuous mother and son, which you refused to believe was an incestuous mother and son. Did you think that they were a couple?
Yes. Yeah. You were very upset about the mother and son there.
I can't remember. There was some funny conversation
nothing
about
that. Nothing is sparking anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Lauren Lapkus was the guest.
That's funny.
But there's a really famous scene where like a cop is trying to pull over a man cat and he's like, rah! And his face turns into like a man cat. But they look like
the
cats from Sleepwalkers.
When the gremlin is on the outside of the bubble and it's like tongue starts to expand and get
ooh,
big.
I didn't like that.
I was like, what is this? Let it do something. I thought it was going to
flexing.
I thought it was going to spit acid so it could get into the bubble. Or I didn't understand. Yeah. Like they give you specifics. But they don't give you specifics. They don't follow through. You don't get third act explanations. There's
no exposition.
I was like, what? These men and this woman have survived, and this baby have survived an insane thing. A plane crash, a dog fight, a war itself, a misogyny, the threats to a baby. But the highlight should be we saw gremlins and we fought them. Like, what the what?
And won.
Yeah.
You know, that one shot, you're right. Like, I really didn't know what the gremlins could do. Like, did they ever really kill someone or just sort of throw them off the planes?
They kill people, but they also seem to be mostly like pulling the plane apart midair. They're destroying the engines.
Very unsettling.
They're just like tearing. Rats. They seem to, exactly. That's why the guy's like, I saw a big rat. Like, is that what they are? Are they just like rodents that have infested
the sky? Like pigeons?
They've infested this plane and they're just
These are not real though. It's like this is like like I can understand. Okay, there's a they seem to have ill will towards our like our group in particular. Or like, why do they need three?
They bring in this plane? Seem because like the plane, villains in a way that I'm like, what is their motive? What is the gremlins' motivation?
If it crashes, don't they die?
No, well, because at least one of them can fly.
Okay, and I guess the other question I have is this, and this is
Are these aliens? Are these aliens or are these just a species?
I thought they might be aliens.
I assumed aliens as well, but are these just a species of animal we haven't seen
before? One of the best things about a movie like this is...
I thought they were vampire bats at one point. I was like, are these going to be vampires?
I mean, none of it really makes any sense, but I will ask you about this because this is another trope that I noticed, and this is off Gremlins again, just to every now and then bring it away from Gremlins and ask you this. A lot of times in these movies... like people are being very pessimistic in a moment where it feels like total shock should be happening. Like when they're about to crash that plane, like it's not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You know. And I was wondering, first of all, does that help? Like, would you do that if you were in a moment like Dom Toretto shooting off the thing? Like once you're in mid flight, once you are in free fall. Don't you want to be a positive?
Very quiet, actually.
That's what I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that you would be, June, like if you and I were, flying off a cliff, do you think you would hold your criticism back? Because at that point, what can we do? We've already committed to making it. So at that point, I always find it such a funny, weird thing that people are so pessimistic in the middle of a moment of life and death. Like, my last thing I said is, take the baby, you dummy, and we're not going to make it. Like, your last words are, I'm not going to make it, is really like a dark.
They also execute a crash landing that is so insane. And so like bananas, like they don't just crash land. They have to do a full 180 in the plane in order to crash land correctly. And
yes,
they execute it flawlessly. Like they execute something that I suspect is literally impossible and do it. And it is so funny to me. That's the thing is like everybody is just doing stuff in a way that I was like, okay, cool. You're all like badasses in the air. Fine. Still gremlins. Guys.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you still be saying, what the fuck was that? What was that? What did they want? Where did we pick them up? Like,
I will tell you that Casey has a
gremlin.
No, she has a cousin. His name is Jimmy Jet. He is a former airline pilot.
Okay.
And Jimmy Jet was, he worked for like Delta. And
wait, is
they
his name really Jimmy Jet or that is like?
Yes.
Wait, so his name was Jimmy Jet?
His name is not Jimmy Jet, but he calls himself Jimmy Jet.
Yeah,
his
name is Jimmy. If your name is Jimmy Jet, you have to become a pilot.
And Jimmy Jet maintains that he has seen not one, not two, but dozens of aliens up in the sky.
Oh, yeah, no, okay. this is a big thing.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure Delta asked him to not return.
Wow.
After he started publishing his newsletter. But.
Wow. We gotta get it.
But I will say that it occurred to me watching the movie, like maybe at one point I thought maybe these guys have just seen so many creatures up there.
Sure. Yep.
That they are nonplussed.
Well, it reminded me, of course, of the Twilight Zone, famous Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner.
Yes.
Where there's a is it William Shatner?
Yeah.
Where there's
William Shatner
where
he's
a
monster on the wing.
Yeah, exactly. A monster on the wing of the plane. And so and when it started, I was like, oh, is this going to be like one of those kind of stories? Is this a... And then when the closed captioning told me that it was a gremlin, I was like, oh, here we go. this movie is going to be Gremlins on this plane. And then it kind of was, but it also kind of wasn't. Like, they were just as concerned about other things as they were about the Gremlins. Again, I'm obsessed with the Gremlins. And also, I can't believe that we're allowed to call them Gremlins. Even though
Gremlins actually was created by Roald Dahl, right? Or is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he actually came up with that term in his first children's book.
Oh, wow.
And Gremlins were fighting against fighting humans because of deforestation.
Gremlins,
a pilot.
The Joe Dante Gremlins is not an adaptation of the Roald Dahl Gremlins.
No. So, but that term Gremlins has been around since he was a fighter pilot. His first story was about Gremlins, then Gremlins became a whole thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
But now I do have a question about,
I like that this movie, which I did not know, and I guess I could have inferred from the cartoon at the beginning, that this movie is taking an actual thing that pilots would describe something bad, shoddy workmanship as Gremlins having gotten at it, and it has actually said, what if really Gremlins were the cause of the plane's problems? What if actual Gremlins rather than just bad workmanship, right? That's what this movie's launching point is. What if that saying or that phrase was actually true and that the engine failure was due to not because the mechanics did a bad job, but because an actual gremlin is tearing out the wiring or whatever.
By the way, I just Googled it to make sure I was right. It did start among airmen. Okay. So, and Roald Dahl popularized it. So there was this idea.
Yes.
That there are spirits, fairies, leprechauns, and gremlins. And so basically, there was this, it got very popularized during World War II, but it was even starting in 1938 about these mystical creatures, and there a lot of servicemen talked about these gremlins. So, I mean, Britain saw the first gremlins. That's basically all we know. They're the product of a machine age. They believe it was a passing of the buck, important to the morale of the pilots, that it wasn't their fault. It was another person's fault because they were such a complex machine. So they didn't want to be blamed for any of these things going wrong.
Okay. I mean, yeah, like, so I don't mind. That's interesting.
Boost their morale.
They chose to take that and make it an actual thing, an actual gremlin. But then I feel like they just did, that's what they did. They did that alone. And they didn't.
I mean, this is really funny. It's really funny that they created a fake person to help boost the morale. Because listen to these ads. Gremlins are floor greasers, so watch your step. Gremlins love to pitch things at your eyes, so wear safety goggles. These are all real.
Oh,
gremlins will push you around, so watch where you're going. Gremlins will get you if you don't watch out. Why help little gremlins? Dust in the corner. They basically are creating someone not to make you feel bad for fucking up, which is a really amazing and weird thing to do.
Yeah.
to be like, hey, it's not your fault.
It's a scapegoat.
Yes.
It's a scapegoat to cover up, bad workmanship on flying machines.
Well, then maybe, I guess that was the whole point of the story, right? That she was more capable. She saved them from the mechanical
problems that these literal gremlins were causing.
Yes, but she also saved them from enemy fire.
Oh, yeah.
And she was... save them from their incompetence in a way. And I guess that's all the explanation we needed about the gremlins.
I guess I would have liked a little more. I would have liked to have known, where'd these gremlins come from?
Hey guys,
what's up with these gremlins? I would have loved her to be at the end what's up with these gremlins?
Well, not only is she, all right, so she fights gremlins, she hangs out on the airplane, she's got this baby, she's transporting it, she writes her own fake letter, she's good at shooting a gun, she's good at beating up people, saving the day, exploding, and all of that, and she, I think, creates the term shoot your shot. Because at one point she turns to the pilot of this plane and says, you got to shoot your shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that to me made me laugh.
I also
that,
didn't understand. She at some point says, "You have no idea how far I'll go. You have no idea how far I'll go." And I'm like, "Who's she talking to right now?"
I think to the gremlins.
I mean, by the way, at that point, I want to say, we do. We do know how far you will go. You got blown up out of, like, you've
not
done.
Not yet. She
not
hadn't.
Yet. This is before that. This is when she's about to climb out and hook the baby.
Yes. You're right. Yes. So it was to the gremlins. It was maybe telepathically was to the gremlins.
Oh, my God. I almost wish she had been like, I wanted her to be like a spy. In my mind, she was a spy and she snuck aboard this plane because she knew there were gremlins and she's on board to fight gremlins. You know, she's like Hellboy or something, you know, and they have no idea. And she's like, that's her job, is she's like a badass monster killer. But when she was just as surprised by the gremlins as everybody else, I was like, oh, no, this movie is very different. I don't know what's happening. She doesn't know about the gremlins. Nobody knows about the gremlins.
But even her first reaction is like, there's a gremlin out there. I'm going to take a gun and I'm going to fucking shoot it right away.
Her first thing was, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I'm taking this one to the grave.
I'm not going to tell anybody. I just saw a gremlin.
Oh, my
God. Holy shit. This was some wild stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. You were in.
I was.
I was.
Holy cow.
I like a plane movie.
Yeah.
So certainly scratch that itch.
Yep.
And then I enjoyed the motherhood piece of it. And
it really
There are some very cool things.
I was on the fence until breastfeeding. And, you know, automatically breastfeeding in a movie, just I'm like, it skyrockets to the top of the list. So I thought it was great.
I loved that moment. I did too.
I actually, like, the two moments that I remember the most from the film. Well, I should say three. One, when she's working that artillery gun, when she's like, blah, 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 like Rambo style. Like, that was awesome. Great. Like, and just like, she's... like, she can really do it all, and I think that she does a great job of, like, you buy her, like, I never, at a certain point, and there are certain action movies where you're like, oh, I don't buy that person could hit that, like, maybe it's because of the Hit Girl of it all, but the way she beat the fuck out of that gremlin, it seemed believable to me, like, I felt like she wasn't a person who was into fisticuffs all the time.
Well, she was anger of a mother. The only part which you mentioned earlier, the only part that I made her look silly was when she was trying to drop cargo on the flying gremlin below. Because I was like, well, that just wouldn't. The minute you drop it out, it's going to immediately rocket behind you. You're moving in a plane. That's not how it works. But otherwise, yeah, I loved when she shoots, because she shoots two of the Japanese bomber guys.
Yeah.
One from her turret and one from a different turret. Like, she is, and she flies, she lands the plane. She is, like, Rambo is a good example. Like, she's adept and a badass in all ways, shape, and form, including giving her baby nourishment with her boobs.
All I would have needed was a tight, I've already said I needed one scene, but now I'll say this. I won't even take a scene. Just at the end of the movie, the credits go to black and it says, reports of this were blacked out for, like, just put a thing up there, like, the government hid the thing. Like, she went off and did this. But here's the thing. And again, I guess the reason why people ask.
Wait, and her lover, the guy that, the father of the baby, he lives too, right?
Yes.
See, I never was like,
You wanted all three of them to be together. They wanted, like, I wanted him to be with her while she was breastfeeding, then to be triumphant on that mountain, and then to hear the screech of a gremlin in the background.
Yeah, give me 200 gremlins, like, descending upon them. I
want
to know.
I want that monster from the fucking Book of Boba Fett first episode. Pop that out of the ground.
Yeah, let's get us. Yeah.
Why people ask it's real. I do think it is confusing. And I think it's, again, you talked about, like, these moments in this movie that, like, are tropes or made you feel a certain way. You watch this movie, a crazy-ass movie. We've already talked about why it's so crazy. And then you cut to this end where it's like you're seeing all of our crew members for more screen time than they even really had in the actual film, a lot of them. Like, in these, like, nice, like, hey, this is them at work and play before the gremlins hit. And then they just casually mix in real footage of actual soldiers. I think it's a weird choice.
Oh, wait, I missed that.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. The whole credit sequence is all these amazing
okay, that's
women.
That's interesting, because on Hulu, oh, I would have loved to have seen that. On Hulu, you couldn't watch the credit sequence.
Okay.
It prompts to another movie so quickly.
Yeah,
I know. So I saw the sort of like outtakes, but I didn't see.
Oh, so they basically have this like montage of all the WASPs, which are the women Air Force service pilots.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really cool, but it is also confusing because like League of Their Own, I want to see the women playing baseball. Like, this is not.
Oh,
this
so
is
that's
a ramp-
why you're saying people might have thought it was real.
I do think there's something. It's like, this is not even a story about you. Like, this is not even like, oh my gosh, this is the first woman pilot who did something. It's like, this is just a straight up Rambo story. Like, but to put real people there, I'm like, it is a little weird. I was like, that's cool, but it's also like, wait. What?
Yeah, I would have also liked it if they did that. If it was like a black and white photo of, you know, a female pilot. But then I was just going to say a black and white photo of like a plane with gremlins on it. Like
or a black and white photo of gremlins like, you know, and just like, hey, and they're like, me too. You know, it's like all these different, just classic gremlin black and white shots, gremlins in bikinis. Anyway, obviously we have an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. Actually, scratch that. There are people out there with this same exact opinion. We're going to hear from them. That's right. It's not second opinions. It's third opinions.
Jason, June, and Paul, I think they know it all, but Amazon reviews disagree. So open up your mind, but these online fools apply. Second opinions for you and me.
That's right, it's third opinions. There are a lot of positive reviews of this film. 42% are five-star reviews, but they seem to be bogged down in technicalities. It's not really fun five-star reviews. So we wanted to get into some of the more fun one-star reviews. This is written by just Amazon customer. What a complete and utter disappointment. The entire premise of the movie is a joke. There's no plot, no rhyme, no reason. It makes no sense. And the whole thing's about a baby? One star. This one's written by Brian L. Nasty Vogel, and it goes like this. This is possibly the worst movie ever made, and I watch a lot of movies. I feel obliged not to let the unsuspecting viewers purchase or rent this mess. I managed to get through this movie only by making a game out of how many consecutive seconds Chloe Grace Moritz's face was not on the screen. I only got to 2.8 seconds. That's the highest length by far. The movie has nothing other than a ridiculous dialogue featuring only voices talking to Chloe Grace Moritz. And then it goes, the plot is even worse than the ill-prepared props of the Speary Gun turret. I want my money back. That is one star. And that was written just a couple of days ago. This one's written, and our final one is written by Nat. I think this movie disrespects the audience's intelligence. It's a ridiculous excuse for storytelling. Did interns write this? And by interns, they must have been interns to an elementary student council. That's it. Children wrote and directed this. That's the only explanation. Now I don't feel so bad. You kids should pat each other on the head. Job well done. Don't let anyone squash your imagination until you're adults and you actually want to make something that you're proud of. In that case, don't do this. Just quit. Run away from any association to this movie. It will be a step in the right direction, kids. One star.
The kids but I, that he the invented.
Kids, the kids that he
the
invented.
Kids that he invent. Wow. What a wild rant.
What a journey. Anyway, Jason, June, any final thoughts? Would you recommend this movie? I mean, June, you said yes, right?
Yes.
I mean, in an absurd way, yeah. And like I said, at an hour and 20, it zips by great. I was like, okay, I'm having fun. I had some structural problems with it. But I, you know, I'm into Gremlins plus World War II plus dogfight plus, you know, protect the baby movie. I was viscerally upset though I didn't think the movie was, the movie is flawed, but they used Kate Bush in the closing credits, and that broke my heart because that's just too great a song to use in too bad a movie. So that I had a real issue with.
Especially after the techno synth
especially
score.
After, yes, the synthy John Carpenter ripoff score to give us Kate Bush, Hounds of Love at the end. I was like, how dare you?
I hear that. I really love the score, but it just that since it just scratched an itch for me and I loved it. But I enjoyed it, you know, I just enjoyed it. And the gremlins were shocking and we still have no answers, but even with them, I enjoyed it.
I wonder if we're just like, are we in a place in time where the world is full of such chaos that even a movie like this, we're like, yes, thank you. Thank you, movie.
Know, listen, it took
thank
me
you,
to
Gremlins
it took
on a
me
plane.
To a place that I didn't expect to go. And at an hour and 20 minutes, I thought it was a fine use of my time.
Here's what I will agree that if you were in a theater at midnight with a bunch of people,
fun.
It would be a fun.
I can see this as a midnight movie type. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So now here's my dumb joke that I saved to the end and I've set it up now. So it's going to be too complex, but I'll say it anyway. You know, one of the characters in the film is Stu Bechdel. And I said, did Bechdel pass the Bechdel test by not talking about Chloe Grace Moretz? It, with another person for one scene, and he did not. So that's my answer there.
Wait, did Bechdel pass Bechdel the Bechdel, Bechdel test?
Great job, babe.
Wow. I'm not sure that you understand what the Bechdel test is.
No. Yeah. No.
So that joke is just about the near... The sound alike of their names.
Yeah. That's okay, a good one. I'd save that one at the end because I knew we had to get on a high note.
It's really worth it.
I looked at this note that I hand wrote down. I was like, what is this? I was like, oh, I got to read that. June, you have something really fun coming up, right, at the Jane Club?
Yes. On January 22nd, we are hosting our third virtual day-long retreat, and it will be incredible. We have different speakers. We do writing sessions. There's meditation. It's just one of my favorite days of the year. And we also include separate and corresponding programming at the same time for your kids if you have an extra screen. And it's just a great way to start the new year. It's called New Year, New Jane. And if you head to janeclub.com, you can use the How Did This Get Made special code, which is HDTGM5 for $5 off your tickets.
All right, great. And Jason, anything else that you want to talk about?
You know, no, not really. Star Trek Prodigy's back out and doing great stuff. And then just like there's been good stuff. Like I watched that documentary, The Alpinist, and I thought that was fantastic. The Hilda movie on Netflix. If you're a Hilda fan, please watch the Hilda movie. It is just fantastic and beautiful. And everything they're doing there is great. And while you're at it, guys, go and watch City of Ghosts. Just watch City of Ghosts on Netflix, please.
And I'll just remind everybody that every Thursday night over on Twitch, which is not a scary place at all. It's just like YouTube. It's totally free. You can just log on. Rob Hubel and I host a show there, and you can watch the recaps of that show every weekend on YouTube. But just go to twitch.tv/friendzone. Last week's guest was Jerry O'Connell, who did his whole entire interview while he was working out at a Total Body Fitness. And we got to see lots of parts of Jerry. So check it out, twitch.tv/friendzone or my YouTube channel, where we also highlight some Matinee Mondays. Every Monday, we release a short video highlighting a classic episode of How Did This Get Made? And a big thank you to our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, who picked this film, found this film, watched this film, which came out only a year ago. She described it as, this movie is simultaneously the worst and possibly my favorite movie of 2020. And I think, honestly, like, she's kind of right. There's enough stuff in here that really makes it fun, but it's so weird. And a big thank you to our producer, Cody Fisher, our audio engineer, Devin Bryant, our MVP Molly Reynolds, our person who kind of oversees it all, July Diaz, and everybody else at Earwolf who makes this show all come together. And a thank you to Nate Kiley for all of his amazing research, his third opinions, his first opinions. And of course, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson, who designs all of our crazy fun art, and Kyle Waldron, who does all of our great Facebook art. You can check out tpublic.com for all of our shirts. And you bet there will be a Gremless shirt right next to a Googie and our Snowman shirt. There's always sales going on there. So just go to tpublic.com/HDTGM. You'll find it. It's easy. Just type in "how did this get made" in the search bar. You're smart. I love y'all. Every Monday, we release an old episode from the vault, so check that out. And if you want to weigh in, you could do that on our mini episode. Just give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. You could talk about this movie, or you can call for my advice line, where I'll give you some tips about how to be a new you in 2022. All right, that's all for now. We'll see you next week on the mini episode.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, "I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back." And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.